Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, they've got brand new records coming in from Sam Smith, Rush, All Them Witches, Ween, Daughter, Funkadelic, Little Dragon, Misfits, Danzig, Ice Cube, and a whole lot more. All purchases are 10% off. Free beer from Four Hands Brewery. Yeah, they'll have vinyl spinning and all kinds of other things going on. They do a lot of in-store performances on Saturdays. Find all that information and more on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey everybody, this is Adam Ray, comedian, actor, philanthropist, Courtyard Marriott visitor. You're listening to the hilarious Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, this is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
It's Shane. We'll drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for hours. It's Rock Paper Podcast.
Tell me why.
It's nothing but a
podcast. Tell me why.
All you gotta do is download Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out in St. Louis, Missouri with Adam Ray.
At the Courtyard Marriott, baby.
Yeah. Adam just wrapped up his weekend at the Westport Funny Bone.
That's right.
And
by the way, has the Courtyard Marriott gotten a shout out on the podcast before?
I believe that's the first one, man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not the last, because you guys are killing it. Quick shout out to Diane, who runs the bistro. You got me coffee every morning, and told me on the second day staying here when I said charge it to the room, baby, and she goes, "What room would that be?" And I go, 139. And she goes, 839? Baby, you up in the clouds. We don't even have four floors, baby. And I was like, 139. And she goes, oh, shit, I thought you said eighth floor. I was going to say, you up in the clouds. And I was like, well, you did say that, in fact, which is why I was laughing. And she goes, are you crazy? So the customer service is on point.
Yeah.
The laughs are at an all-time high for the Courtyard Marriott staff. And the coffee was okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's hotel coffee. You can't expect... Just because there's a Starbucks in here doesn't mean it's going to be Starbucks quality. And but yeah, so far it's been a great weekend. You saw the show tonight.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a good time. Rob Durham, Max Price opening up the show, some buddies. And
yep, crushed it.
Yeah, man. Good times.
Right, well, thanks for having me on, Shane.
Yeah, that was
all right,
it.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks. To prepare,
yeah.
I listened to... the Goo Goo Dolls' greatest hits.
Nice, dude. So you're, yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready for any references you want
to
throw out there for me.
Unfortunately, I only know, well, I mean, there's a lot of Goo Goo Dolls' hits if we really want to break it down, but I don't know any specific albums. I just know, I mean, obviously Iris is a classic. I reference it in my act, but it's also, you know, it also is like one of those songs that like, hey man, it's a tearjerker of a song.
Sure.
Like the lyrics, I don't want the world to see. Like that's depressing when you really think about it. I think about it like a guy just jerking off in a windowsill, looking at like a fire station or like a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't want the world to see me, and that's why he's up there.
Right.
You know, instead of like that in public story. Jerking. Yeah. That classic Goo Goo Dolls music video. Well, that's great, man. Yeah, so yeah. You probably have heard me reference the Goo Goo Dolls with Brad.
I'm a huge fan of the of your podcast, the
Thanks, buddy.
About Last Night podcast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I met Ryan Sickler for the first time.
Nice.
He was at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room.
Awesome.
And came into town. I think he had some kind of wedding or something going on, and he did a set there and crushed it, and got to hang out and talk to him and introduce myself. And he's a big part of why I do the show. I met Larson at Westport Funny Bone a couple
nice.
Years ago.
Nice.
And he said, "Hey, check out my podcast." And I'd known of podcasting, just seeing it on iTunes and whatnot,
right.
and but I never actually listened. And when I met Larson and he said, "Listen," I was like, "All right, I'll check it out," because I liked him.
Yeah.
And I started listening to Crab Feast.
Yeah.
Crab Feast led me to About Last Night,
right?
And then I started listening to your guys' stuff, and
nice.
So it's pretty awesome to get to hang out, talk to you,
hell
and
yeah.
talk to Ryan,
hell yeah.
And you guys are a big inspiration for me even doing this show, and so
thanks, man.
Yeah. So
well, you're inspiring for us, man. When I was 10 years old, I didn't even know who Shane was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope in 23 years I can do his podcast in my hotel.
Sure.
So, no, that's awesome. Yeah, that's, I mean, hey, we always, and I'm sure Ryan and Jay can attest to this. It's like, you don't get a lot of face-to-face interaction with your podcast fans unless you are doing the road because, right. Or even in LA, like we get people that come up and say they like the show, but, it's all mostly through, email or social media,
yeah.
And that's just not as good as face-to-face. So my first time out here, when you came up and they were like, "I love the podcast. It's the greatest podcast ever. Like, you and Brad are the funniest guys on the planet Earth."
Sure.
I was like, "Tone down the compliment, Shane. You're making it weird." And no, it was. It's way cooler. It's much more stronger of an impact. It makes us feel cooler about doing it when you can see like the genuine joy in someone's face talk about it. So
yeah. So, for you, what? How did you get into it? Just was it
to podcasting?
Yeah.
Well, I'd known Brad for a while because I it was number 15 on my bucket list was be friends with a little person by age 40, and Dinklage was like not I don't run in the same circles as he does. He doesn't do stand up, which was big. And I met Brad. I did a USC stand up. USC is where Brad and I both went, University of Southern California. And well, after I graduated, there was a USC comedy competition for past and present students. Brad was judging it because he'd been doing stand-up, I think, 5 years at this point. I think Brad's been doing it 12, and I've been doing it 8, so he's got, 4 years on me. And he had been doing it, so he judged it along – he judged the auditions. And then – so he was like the Simon Cowell. And then the actual judges were Jeff Ross and Russell Peters, and then Brad hosted it. And – I met him there, and he was like, "Hey, you're really funny." And then I saw him at the comedy clubs, and then we kind of just shot the shit. And then he was like, "Hey, I got these road gigs. You want to come with me?" Because, for dudes, I've always said, it's like if you get along with sports and comedy, you have those common interests, and you're not a piece of shit, then, like, you can bond pretty quick,
Yeah.
It's girls need excursions. They need to, like, go on some sort of getaway. Like, if we go wine tasting this weekend, I think we'll all become, like, better friends because we'll find our spirit animals. We'll find out who – we'll get out of our comfort zones a little bit. What you just heard is why the Courtyard Marriott lobby is the best place to record a podcast.
Because
you never know what's going to happen. People are dropping plates. There's TVs on. There's business meetings going on. There's podcasts.
Got a bonfire over here.
We got a bonfire. So then Brad goes, "Hey, I got an opportunity to do a podcast, and I don't want to do it by myself. Do you want to do it with me?" And I never thought about doing a podcast because I think I just recognized how saturated the podcast world was getting, and I, for whatever reason, and lesson learned, I just was like, I don't want to do what everyone's doing. And it's like, well, just because like you don't want to talk about like relationships in your stand-up act, it's like, again, an example, it's like, well, you're going to have a different approach to it. Like, whatever your voice is going to be, like, you're going to bring something different to that genre or topic of conversation. And so I thought about that with podcasts. Like, oh, well, shit, Brad and I are good buds. We have that to separate ourselves from people right away because a lot of the podcasts that were out were just one person, for the exception of, like, Corolla, but, like, Marin's by himself and Rogan. And And then it just became a fun thing. And then you realize, too, you need more than just stand-up these days. You know, and I've been doing a lot of, you know, web sketches, you know, working for Funny or Die and just a lot of my own YouTube stuff and then stand-up and trying to do it, get acting going. But it was like you can't, you know, it was great to have more stuff on your plate to help sell yourself, you know. Sure. And also it was great to meet people, and it was just another skill set that I was like, oh, I'm sure getting good at podcasting or interviewing will come in handy. And it's, I mean, it's, you know, the one time I've done Late Night Couch for on Craig Ferguson when The Heat came out, I mean, having 2 years of podcast under my belt was like a huge help, you know. Yeah. And it's just made talking to people so much more effortlessly. Totally. Effortlessly. Is that the right word? Fuck. It's the second time tonight I've, like, stumbled on a word and then just abandoned my attempt. It's the St. Louis air, man. Yeah. You guys, it's too clean. Because L.A., I'll go back tomorrow and I'll be like, oh, that's right, I'm going to die in 20 years because I'm breathing in so much exhaust and, you know, just the smell of dreams happening and not happening.
All right.
But anyway, so Brad and I start jamming on the podcast, and then it just became really fun. That's, you know, why we do it in the first place. And then, you know, you start having realizing that you know, we can get some cool people on the show. Like, let's start reaching out and not just getting the friends we know, but let's, like, shoot for the stars and let's ask Melissa McCarthy and let's ask Bob Saget and let's ask Dan Cook and, you know, my boy Adam Devine and Chris D'Elia and, you know, Whitney Cummings. Let's, like, take a shot and, like, take advantage of the relationships that we've built with these people. And then, you know, it's once you get a handful of those people on, then it's, you know, that's what makes it able to reach out to Lisa Kudrow and Howie Mandel. And now, you know, Jay Leno, knock on wood, we're going to get in January. And it's but, you know, there's just the lesson for me in all that was like, oh, cool, you didn't want to do something or you found a reason to not do it. And then you went against that and you did it. Now it's become like a big part of your life. And, yeah. And you know, I get to hang out with Brad a couple times a week. And
that's
always great because, you know, you got a handful of good buddies as you go through this business that you really, like, connect with and stick with. And you know, we get along really well, and it's fun to hang out with the guy and also do work with him, you know?
Yeah, man, I totally get that's exactly how I feel with this show. Like, for me, it's a great excuse for networking, man.
Yeah.
I get to meet all kinds of people all around town.
Yep.
On my show particularly, I try to focus on St. Louis music and comedy, and I try to, you know, shine a light on all my friends around town. So,
yeah.
But occasionally, a guy like yourself, or I recorded with some national musicians that come through and stuff, so whenever
the Bare Naked Ladies,
no.
Oh.
All right, wish, man, that's pretty high up there. I don't know,
yeah, they are,
yeah.
You know, Harlan Williams, his cousin is in the Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, he's one of the lead singers.
Yeah,
a fun trivia fact,
yeah.
If you're playing your Bare Naked Ladies drinking game at home,
right?
there are some bands like that that I feel like should think outside the box as far as like a Bare Naked Ladies board game, like. I'm not going to say I'm going to go out of my way to buy it, but if you had it right now and were like, hey, after the podcast, you want to get down on some Bare Naked Ladies Monopoly, I'd be like, what the fuck did you just say? Yes, and I want to be the, you know, I still want to be the thimble,
yeah.
If that's possible. Or Bare Naked Ladies Pinball Machine?
Sure.
Again, Shane, you're looking at me like I just pulled my dick out, and I don't appreciate the lack of support that you're giving me with my game ideas.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, the possibilities here.
Thank
we,
you.
You know, we could have a Twister. I mean, all
see,
of them.
There you go. Yeah. See, now was that tough to just get on board with the idea train?
What Trouble? We could have
Trouble.
Yeah, we could. There we go. Connect Four.
Yep, something. Connect Four. Don't sleep on Connect Four.
Yeah.
What a great game that was. Do you have a favorite childhood game? What got you through the rainy days in St. Louis?
Don't say
a video game. I'm talking like classic board games before we got locked in to pushing buttons.
I do recall we played some Monopoly. My dad had, like, I don't know if he made it, I forget, but it was like a solid wood Monopoly board, hand painted and stuff. Like, so it was really a
homemade Monopoly board?
Yeah, like, I mean, it
holy
was
shit.
It was like a piece of 2x4 and hand painted with all the different, you know, the same thing, but it was just. It was a lot cooler than just the cardboard version out of the box. So
yeah,
So
that's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, so
that's...
we played some Monopoly. I don't know, man. I played a lot of basketball. So
yeah,
you are
6'5"?
4, yeah.
Man, yeah.
I played growing up, man. I played a ton of basketball with my buddy Sean. We were neighbors, and
Hoops golf, all the day, yeah. Who was your favorite player growing up?
I was big, you know, of course, this is the Bulls dynasty was it was huge.
You're a big Tony Kukoc fan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Actually, Steve Kerr, man.
That hell was, yeah.
So.
Wait, were you a big man that shot the three? Or
yeah, I shot some three. I until my eighth grade coach was like, "You shoot another three, you're gonna sit on the bench." And
what the fuck? What?
Yeah. Well, he wanted me, you know, being the biggest guy on the floor, he wanted me
down low,
getting the boards and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, dude. So. If Hakeem Olajuwon was shooting threes, you probably, you know, you would understand the coach's problem with that.
But I.
Didn't you go pro?
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question, man.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Drugs?
No. Actually, I grew like 4 inches in a month, like going into eighth grade.
The girls must have loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were like, Shane's got, you know, it's only 2 inches down there. And then you were like, well, now it's six, baby. So get on the Shane train.
Yeah, Shane train's coming for you.
Dude, why'd you have to look at me like that when you said that?
Oh, sorry about that.
all right, so you grew 4 inches, and then you were like, all right, now I got a chance.
Right, yeah, but then I started having a lot of knee problems. So I, sophomore year, I guess, I started, freshman year, I guess, I quit. And I gave it up. So
it's all injuries, man.
Yeah.
That's why Rebecca Lobo didn't, you know, have the career everyone thought she was going to.
But, yeah, I don't know. I still love the game, but just I don't get to – play nearly as much.
For sure.
Didn't you play like on a
comedy basketball league? Yeah, for sure. A bunch of comedians. Now I don't play as much anymore because I'm busy on Monday nights, but that's when the game was. I think it's going to shift to a different night, but the first 3 years of this league I was in were the best times because, I mean, just everybody was playing and the games were really competitive and my team was awesome. We just formed a great team. And we got to the championship the first 3 years, lost all 3 years, two of them at the buzzer. Really heartbreaking, too. Like, sports are just so – it made me really miss, and it still makes me miss, the lack of participation nowadays because, you know, if you've played sports or you're a sports fan, you just have that competitive edge in you all the time. And if you don't have an outlet for it, I think that's why you end up having road rage or other shit. Like, you need to have an outlet for it. And it was really great to, like, because I was super competitive in high school and even intramurals in college, but to have a league and still be able to play and have other buddies of mine that could play and, you know. And the respect, too, it's so great because there were comedians that were playing that league that I got to know through the basketball league. And they see on the court, and it was like you become buds through that, and then you'd be on a show together, and then they see you do your thing there, and then it's just like, again, like comedy and sports, if there's a mutual adulation on both ends, and it's like a great way to build a friendship. But but I was also way too into it. It's like, that was the flip side. It was like, I'd be talking to my mom leaving a show, and I'm like, we fucking lost, and god damn, I just was getting like drilled down low, and like the ref was calling us bullshit, I got a technical. It's just like, why are you taking it so serious? Are you getting paid? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, well, you know, not with that attitude. And I'm like, no, Mom, we just don't get paid. I was like, there was a ref in a wheelchair who was just calling me for everything. And she's like, well, why was he in a wheelchair? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. This is a great question. Like, can we call the front office? And you just get very just competitive, man. If you have that competitive thing in you, it's just like, you know, there's a lot of room for, you know, unorthodox behavior. You know, like screaming at a ref in a wheelchair. Like, I did that. And then, for sure, felt bad about it afterwards. It's not like I said, like, you know, that was a bullshit call. Like, how do you know what it's like to travel? You know, I didn't say shit like that. But you don't even know what a travel looks like. But it was, you know, just anyway, it was good times. Is what I'm trying to say.
I worked part time for the YMCA, and I would run the scoreboard for the men's basketball league. And like, I watched this like grown man like. Throw a temper tantrum like in the middle, like he fell on the floor foul and he's like pounding the floor and kicking his feet and like, you know, screaming at the refs like, you know, sounds like he's about to cry and like telling him to call something. And I was like, man, that's, you know, that's taking it pretty seriously. You're really getting into this game.
Fuck,
man.
Yeah,
but that happened. That was a 40-year-old man throwing a tantrum on the floor.
I will be that guy in 7 years. For sure. I played in a rec game, and my dad used to live in this island called Kwajalein, which is about 4.5 to 5 hours east of the South Pacific of Hawaii, middle of nowhere, right? Like a 2,500 person island. And he was a doctor out there for a handful of years, and I went to visit him. And played in this basketball game with this guy named it was a guy's name, but it was also like a girl's name, like Leslie. It was like a dude named Leslie, and you were like, "No, I don't like this at all." And he was so like cheap and dirty, and it was all young kids in these games, high school kids, and they had a good high school team, so I would get to play in their pickup games. And this guy, I remember him like elbowing a kid down low for a rebound and then being like, "Jesus, Leslie, like take it down a notch." And he was like, "You got to box out, bitch." And he was like 45. And I was like, "Oh, I hope I'm never this guy. A, I hope I'm never a man named Leslie. And B, I hope I don't have a shitty attitude on the court post prime."
I wanted to also ask you, I've heard a little bit through the through listening to the podcast, but you're also a big Stern fan, right?
Love Stern.
Yeah.
He's the man to me. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've learned so much interview-wise from him, you know.
Oh, definitely.
You listen to the best. You just, you know, you try to, you know, take and just absorb as much as possible of that and you know, not completely emulate, but, you know, because on you know, the About Last Night podcast that I do with Brad Williams, we don't you know, we don't get too deep and introspective, but, like, you know, if we will touch on some serious stuff and, like, you know, always keep it real light, though. We want it to be an escape for people, and I think that's why people enjoy it, because it's, they feel like they're just kind of hanging out with us and we're, you know, shooting the shit. But Stern is really good at riding that line, too.
Yeah.
And he just asked great questions. And I feel like that's, you know, in a good interview when you can bring up something or – and he's an amazing listener, and that's, like, I think what I get most from it. And it's – you know, listening and acting, man, is like 90% of it. And listening in anything, in conversation, in stand-up is a big part of it. Like listening, reading the room and listening to the crowd and you know, constantly getting a gauge for how they are with you, especially with crowd work, which I've, you know, really became a big fan of as far as having it in my act on a nightly basis. And if you're not listening, man, you're not, it's going to sound like, you know, cheesy, but you're not present in anything if you're just not really... And there, and in an age when there's so much to distract us, it just becomes even that much more crucial to anything creative, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got big on after high school. Started working construction for a little while during the mornings, and
also perfect time to listen.
Yeah. So I started listening when he was still on terrestrial, and then I immediately went to satellite with him. And I'm big, huge fan. I love listening to the show, and everybody, like, totally agree with you, man. Like, that, he's has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Also, like, I try to learn from him every time I listen to an interview,
yeah.
And try to grow and be better at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
I would love to be on Stern. Shuli Agar hit me up on Twitter once and had me record some Johnny Depp impersonations a segment about Eric the Actor, and they were gonna play it, and I don't think they ended up using it, but. Man, I totally geeked out about it, like just putting it together for it. But
I know there's a St. Louis guy, Mike McRae, that does impressions on the show.
Stern's a big impression guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of crazy because, like, you know, he doesn't really like give the guys credit that, you know,
totally.
They totally.
That's part of the you know, mystique.
Yeah, they stick to the bit and, like, you know, even you know, Evil Day Letterman and stuff, like,
yeah.
They don't ever say his real name.
I think there's something cool about that, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's funny how many people do. Like, I mean, I know that that hit the press, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, like about blowing up the moon and all that.
Totally. Like, you know, Stern gives so much props and shout outs to the guests that he had. I mean, he's got such a giant audience that, you know, can really impact a film opening or a new CD. So he gives his It gives people their credit, so I think, he's got to have some sort of stuff that's like, all right, this is just mine. He can't be constantly just be pimping people's shit out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
How do you feel about some of the stuff he said about podcasts and things? Like, he's not really much a fan on it.
No, he's not. And, you know, he just came up in a different time, man. You know, so.
I feel like, though, like, it would be different. Like, obviously, he's doing what he, but essentially what he's doing is a form of podcast,
yeah.
You know, like, it's a new medium, it's uncensored, it's unfiltered, you know.
Well, he paved the way for us, for sure. Maybe he just is so used to being the king of all media that now that there's other, you know, kings of media, I don't know, or you know, other, you know, royal subjects in the...
Yeah.
I don't know, he's the man, there's only one Stern, but maybe he feels territorial over it, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... know. But
he also just, you know, he's been doing it so long. He just, you probably at some point, when you've got it all, you've got to find things to fucking gripe about, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's any shortage of that. There was like a supercut the other day on the show where like it was one of those like you know, just closing out the show kind of thing, and it was all Stern. I hate movies. I hate TV. I hate, you know, it's like all the different things he's ever said he hated, and like they kind of smashed them all together. And it was pretty good. So
yeah, he's the best.
Yeah. We talked about you on a show episode a while back. My friend Libby was on the show, and she said she saw you on that New Kids on the Block cruise.
Oh shit!
She's the one that wears the neck brace. Was involved. With
I met her as soon as I got off the got onto the boat. She was like interviewing the band like as a character, right? Like as a super fan.
Yeah, Aunt Claudette is her character that she does, and. Yeah, I know, she won some kind of contest, submitted like a video to Donnie, and got to come out and hang out and do all this, and it was fun to kind of talk to her about her experience of it. And
did she see me perform on the
show? Yeah, she said she saw your she said you did some kind of song, and it was like totally perfect. It like captured everything about the boat and stuff.
Yeah, Joey McIntyre, who's my buddy, who's in the New Kids on the Block, who did the heat with, and we became buds, and he was like, "We got this concert cruise. You want to come on it? It's 3,000 women and bananas, and you take a cruise and go to the Bahamas or whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, man, but let me see what the Backstreet Boys are doing first, because I've got my boy band, you know, commitments elsewhere." No, it was a shit show. These women, you know, mostly in their late 30s, 40s, some 50s. One 72-year-old woman who propositioned me, if I get her a Joey Mac autograph, she's like, "You can have your way with me." And I was like just drunk enough to where I was like, "Man, should I do it for the story?" But then I was like really sized her up and was like, "No, man, like, you know, I wasn't, you know, still too sober." 72, that's a vast difference. Like, that's 40 years. Like, there's a lot of... We're not going to see eye to eye on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Emotionally, sexually. But, you know, again, like, the same way I had trepidations about doing a podcast, maybe I should have...
Sure.
You know, put my hand up against the don't do that and go do it, you know?
Yeah, don't knock it till you try it, right?
Wow. I mean, or try it and then don't ever fucking touch it again. My future, I'm going to go get it. Yeah,
sure.
So, and I'll pick up with the New Kid story when I come back.
You're up. So we're back.
Yes. So, what was I saying? Oh, so the New Kid. Yeah, so didn't fuck a grandma. And but the cruise was crazy. I mean, it was just, these women are escaping their lives and their families, and they go bananas and don't pace themselves, and they're all hammered within 20 minutes of being there. And
She said something like she didn't sleep for like 3-4 days.
Oh, for sure. I slept the first night just to get one in, and then it was up till 7 a.m. every night, every morning. And so at the end of then Joey did this thing called Duets at Dusk, where people submitted videos to sing a duet with him in front of the whole, you know, 3,000 people on the patio of the boat. And I was like, "Joe, I want to do something and, you know, find a fun ballad to, like, you know, make up a song to." And so this guy, Rob Lewis, who, produces music with Boyz II Men and Christina Aguilera and the New Kids. The lighting just went down. The mood is getting set for this podcast even harder. It's the most romantic podcast I've ever done. So then Rob Lewis, "Rob, do you know, what are some good ballads that you know? Like, do you know... Casey and JoJo's All My Life, like something." He's like, "Man, we got to practice." It's literally like 5 minutes before I'm going to go up. And he said, "We got to practice." I'm like, "Oh, I'm real good at just riffing off the cuff. And I wrote some lyrics, you know, real quick, and I'll just make them up to you. Like, we'll be good. Just, you know, follow me. I'm good at listening." And he's like, "Man, I feel better if we practice." Because he practiced with all the people, all the contestants. So then I asked one of the other music guys, I go, "I have Say Something by, Say Something and I'm Gonna Fucking Whatever with You." And I think it's Sam Smith or some. Who sings that? Somebody covers it. I think it's a Sam Smith cover. Who sings that, though?
It's A Big World or something like that, and it's got Christina Aguilera.
Is that the original song?
I think the band's A Big World or something like that.
Say Something. I think I have it. say something. So what's this shit? Oh, yeah. A Great Big World. And Christina Aguilera. Yeah. Say something or I'm gonna puke on you. Like, that's what I did. And they basically, like, sang about, you know, the girls falling down the stairs and all the shit. And just sang very relatable stuff. But anyway, so Rob, I asked the other musical dude, I go, what about Say Something? He goes, dude, he actually plays that with Christina all the time. So he'll know that for sure. And I was like, perfect. Literally, as I'm walking down and Joey's introducing me. And then we did it, and it crushed, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, it was very, it was a crowd pleaser. I sang about them and then buttoned it up with how great all the new, the Blockheads, which is what they call themselves, all the fans were. But an unreal experience. And again, like, something that I was kind of like, well, whatever, I'm not going to go. But then I was like, oh, go, because you'll get material from it, stories. And, like, you know, this is the time in your life. Having no kids and no girl right now is great, because it's, I can put all my time and energy into the career and then be able to do things like that and not think twice about it.
Yeah, definitely. I saw you on the Brent Morin special.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, the little intro to the special.
Brent's the best. That special was awesome.
Yeah.
And he crushed it. And, I've pretty much started with Brent, and again, just, a handful of buddies that you just really become good buds with, and he's the man, dude. It's genuinely makes me laugh, and he since we pretty much started, it's like, then you get an hour special, and he asked me to come out and open for him and be in it, and I was like, I just finished Ghostbusters, and I was like, I'm already on the East Coast, so come down from Boston to New York, that was awesome. Especially just to get to have a lot of specials. What I like are when they really have some cool, like Brent really allowed for a full scene to happen beforehand.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, like Brad Williams is about to shoot his second Showtime special, and we're going to do a little bit beforehand, but it's going to be real quick. But I like that Brent really, wrote out a 3-5 page scene, and we got to really, act, and it was fun, man.
He asked you if you had a pass, and you're like, what is this, gym class?
Yeah,
like, that was pretty good, though. Yeah, so if you haven't checked out Brent's special, go on Netflix, check it out, see you had him on there. I just watched that Tom Segura one.
Oh, I haven't gotten that yet, but yeah, Tom is one of my favorite comics. I bet it's amazing.
It's pretty fantastic, man. He does another, long intro that, and it's...
I did see the intro.
Yeah, you saw
that? Was incredible.
Oh, man, I laughed so hard watching that.
So good, dude.
Yeah.
And again, it just makes the whole special. It's like, why not take advantage of that? It just adds... if people are going to watch it, they're going to watch everything. Yeah. Like, that you're including in the special. So,
Yeah, it was great. We kind of mentioned a bit of the bit, like you worked on The Heat, and I saw Spy just recently.
Oh, nice.
I was a little late to that one.
Saw my little cameo?
Yeah, that was
Actually, I don't know if you can call it a cameo if you're not famous. It was a moment.
Yeah.
But in the director's cut of the unedited version, I have got, I think, 4 or 5 more lines than I do in the regular one. So.
Yeah.
Paul Feig just puts me in his shit after The Heat. He just, just said, do you want to come to Budapest and do this? And it's only a few lines. And then Ghostbusters, I got to do a lot more. And some other cool shit that I'm doing for it that I can't say yet. But, that's a guy you don't want to get in the business of saying no to, even if it is something small. And because I said, out of the Spy thing, it put in his head that, oh, this guy's down for whatever. And so he gave me a really cool part in Ghostbusters that a lot of really great, funny people could have done. And he thought of me, so,
I was watching Heavyweights.
Yeah,
not
great
too
movie.
Long. Yeah,
Paul's in that.
Yeah, he's in it. And then I realized it was written by Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
which it's one of those things. Like when I watched it long ago, something I didn't pay attention to.
Totally.
But now these guys are huge names in the business, and it's just kind of crazy to see some of their early stuff. And of course, I love the movie. I totally relate to a lot of it.
For sure, me too. So, hiding candy underneath your bunk bed.
Right.
Not one to jump rope.
That one kid that's got it stuck to his dude. They put
he's like one of those old school guys with the trench coats when they open it up and they're like, you want to buy a watch? But instead it was like, you want to buy a Kit Kat? Yeah.
Hey, kid, get the salami off my back.
A lot of great quotes from Heavyweights.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was,
don't sleep on that movie for sure.
For sure,
it was overlooked for the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
there should be a special award show for underrated Disney movies.
Yeah,
not just Disney movies, but like Heavyweights or Hook with like Robin Williams shit. I don't know, man. What's like if there was a category of like Rookie of the Year?
Oh,
I would put, you know, best comedic performance, Daniel Stern in Rookie of the Year. You know,
yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard Funky Butt Lovin'? In a movie, so
dude, that's what I want to know. I mean, how many times do I say that to myself before I go to bed? When I wake up and I just greet myself with a Funky Butt Lovin' quote. Yeah, yeah, amazing. Dude, every kid was like, I mean, and also it was one of those things too that was like so funny and such a weird phrase that like teachers didn't know how to react. They were like if you said that on, you know, in the classroom, like Funky Butt Lovin', they'd be like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, go to the principal's office. No, I said funky.
Yeah.
And butt loving is just, those are both actually clean words.
Yeah.
It's just when paired together, they can come across a little more crass than expected. Butt loving, I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, butt loving by itself is, a kid shouldn't be saying that because it is insinuating anal, is basically what you're saying. But funky butt loving, you know, that kind of diffuses the anal insinuation.
Sure.
And by the way, anal insinuation is playing at the St. Louis Arboretum, the opening of the Arboretum next week. Anal Anything is a good band name. Like, Anal Anything.
Yeah.
If Anal Anything was opening for the Goo Goo Dolls, I'd travel around the country to see them.
we have a band here in St. Louis. They go by Funky Butt Brass Band, and I think it's one of the best names.
Funky Butt Brass Band?
Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, they're like a New Orleans-style, you know, brass section, and it's they're fantastic, man.
I love that.
Yeah. How was Ghostbusters?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was the best week of my life, for sure.
Man.
I mean, getting to be in a big movie and have a really cool part, And it was with all the Ghostbusters, my scene, so I got to kick with all them. And you know, I got to know Melissa pretty well. And Leslie Jones I've known from stand-up. And Kate McKinnon, I, you know, sat in the makeup chair with her every morning. And so got to know her. And Kristen Wiig was cool as shit. And you know, again, just getting to a point, too, with Paul Feig, where it was like he gave me a lot more shit to do in this one and just trusted, like, oh, Adam's down for whatever, and he can handle anything. And I crushed it for him. And I felt also... Like, in the heat, I was very, you know, I got comfortable about a weekend from the month of being able to improvise and being like, oh, cool, yeah, I should be here. Like, but the first day, I was pointing guns at Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, and I was definitely like, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, and then you settle in and laugh on some improvs. It's like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be here, you know? Yeah. And then Spy was just a little something, but he still, you know, had trusted me to do it. And then with this one, it was just so much different shit and a lot of unique things that like I have in my repertoire as far as like singing and doing some stunt stuff and being very comfortable with him to like discuss moments and pitch him joke ideas. And you know, it was really awesome to walk away and go, oh, I felt like really... I wasn't overwhelmed. I definitely had moments where I'm stepping back and looking at the whole production and being like, holy shit, man. Like, this is fucking a $163 million movie. This is Ghostbusters. Like, Paul Feig is the fucking man for movies right now. And to be a part of that was cool. But then, you know, it definitely wasn't as overwhelming as it was the first time around because, you know, just like anything, the more you do of it, the more you're going to settle in. And,
sure, man.
Yeah. So it was great, though. And Boston is the coolest place to shoot a movie. And I think it's going to do really well. I wish it was coming out sooner than July, but, you know, shit, man, we're already in January, so
we'll be
here soon.
That's one thing, I'm sure for you, too. You've been crazy busy with all your projects and stuff, but, like, you know, time's just flying by, man. I work my day job. I do this as much as I can, and, like, I just, it's crazy when I sit down and think, like, oh, man, it's, like, already been a year
and all this man.
Stuff. Like, it's nuts.
I know.
So July will be here in a blink, and we'll be talking about how great the movie was. And
I think so, man.
Yeah.
I think people are going to love it. And if they don't, then, you know, shit, man, go back and watch Heavyweights.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's a movie that will always fill your heart.
Classics.
Yeah, dude, Fat Kids and Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
It really is. God, it really is an underrated movie.
Yeah, that...
Stiller, again, Stiller's performance could have been nominated,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, even as his own dad. Like, he played two characters in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And his dad was in the movie, so...
Yeah, dude. Stiller family is... they've got comedy in their blood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a classic line from there is... we're going to turn you guys all into skinny winners. Did he just say skinny wieners? I'm like...
Classic Disney, like, yeah, like record scratch, like, you know, mishearing the word and having it be, yeah. I mean, that's like Funky Butt Loving.
Yeah, sure.
Disney loves for a kid to say, like, did he say, like, flabby twats? Like, no, he said, you know, flapjacks. And it's like, oh, shit. Well, I heard flabby twats. Oh, Disney. You know.
Jeez.
I don't know what movie I was quoting where Flabby Twats was a...
I forget that
probably
one.
Probably one of the Air Buds or...
Maybe Mighty Ducks 3.
Mighty Ducks 3.
Yeah.
Gordon Bombay's like, you guys are playing like a bunch of flapjacks. Did he say Flabby Twats? Not even close.
So, doing your show, what? Who do you feel was your... the most rewarding guest, like the one you were really proud about?
Because
I know you've had some pretty huge moments on the show, but
on our podcast,
yeah. Which one are you probably most proud of?
Oh man, well, getting to go interview Tony Danza in New York City as Tony Danza was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
just because I've been so fascinated with him in my life for a while.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it actually happened, it was really awesome. And, that definitely is a highlight. But then Dana Carvey has been a hero of mine. And, shit, man. Even guys like Harlan Williams, who I was always such a fan of and then became friends with, like, just to be sitting down with him, because I learned so much from Harlan, like, being on the road with him for a couple of years. And that's when I really became a fan of crowd work and saw how great it can be, and not, you know, the roast. I'm definitely not a roaster, but you know, I can be a little bit of a smart ass, and you know, you have to be. You can't be with crowd work. You can't be so nice all the time. Like, you have to be in control, and people do want to feel. I think they want to be like, oh yeah, I trust this guy, and I definitely don't think I could do what he's doing, and he's got, you know, he's got the show under control, and if it does get out of hand, he'll be able to maneuver through whatever's happening, and you have to have a little bit of an edge to what you're doing to get that across. But Harlan is just like the best, and every show was so different on, and the way he weaved material and then crowd work in and made the show more full that way was always very appealing to me. I was like, oh, I think that's what I want my show to be like, you know, when I start headlining.
What was the guy's name that Brad does an impression of him and stuff, and he like represents a lot of comics.
Barry Katz.
Barry Katz, yeah, man. That was, for me, that was one that I was really interested in. Like, it was very intriguing to listen to his side of comedy and stuff. And
dude, he's been in the business for, I mean, yeah, the guy, the people he's represented, the stories he has, and I mean, it was like, that's why he had to do two parts, you know? What did you find from that episode that you resonated with the most?
Like I said, I'm a huge fan of comedy myself, but like, just hearing some of those stories and like kind of like the advice that he offered, especially, you know, even to you guys, and as you guys are working at it. But like, I just thought it was really, really great radio, and I passed it on to a couple of my local buddies that are.
Oh, hell yeah,
and
dude.
I'm like, you guys, you know, I think you guys could all benefit from listening to this. So
I appreciate that. I mean, that we both, what's cool is I think Brad and I genuinely got something out of it listening to it, where we were like, he's just been in it so long that he's got such, I don't know, deep pockets experiences, you know. And he's also very astute about like recounting all the things he's done and is able to look at them with such a sharp perspective of like, here's why this was good, here's why what I learned from this, and here's when this happened. And you know, he just remembers so many details. And,
definitely, yeah.
You know, he's a great storyteller, and he's got a voice, dude, that's just like
be undeniable, right?
Dude. Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest parts I took away from that. Like, that kind of resonated with me, where like with this show. Like, there's a, sometimes there's not opportunity. You know, I try to reach out, something doesn't happen. But that just pushes me to continue to grow, to get to that point where I can be undeniable.
Yeah.
And get that guest or get that whatever I'm looking for and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, definitely, I mean, you know, you when you reach out to me for the podcast, and I mean, you know, and I mean, what would you, if I didn't hit you back, would you have just not hit me up again?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, I try not to, like, obviously, you know, you're... You got your own stuff. I'm sure you, you probably did other things in town here, and but you know, I try. I throw it out there. If it, you know, if something, if it sticks, it sticks. But you know, if it doesn't, I'll move on. I mean, I'm not gonna. I don't want to push too much, you
totally.
Know, because like then you're just gonna annoy him, kind of thing. But
well, I feel like, and I will just share this advice because I feel like it's pertinent, and you know, since I'm doing the show, but like you know, there what I found too, because you know, I book our show and. about last night podcast and you know there a lot of them are people I know, but I mean right now we're I've been emailing with Judd Apatow's assistant for you know 6-7 months now, and we've been going back and forth, we locked in a few dates, things changed, but it's on me to be proactive as far as like making it happen, like, and you know then he says you know things happen, he goes check back in a month, we check back in, then when you don't hear something, there's a fine balance between like staying on somebody and being proactive and being, you know, overly aggressive and insensitive or whatever. And you can take a hint, like, I've been trying to book Jane Lynch for a while, too. I met her outside of a coffee shop, and I asked her, and I, you know, was very up front and told her who we've had and this and that, people that she's known and friends with, and said, could I at least get your email and start the dialogue? She's like, I'm super busy, but whatever. Started emailing. She's like, too busy right now. Then Brad ended up doing this Christopher Guest movie and met her, and she said, tell your friend Adam to stay on me because, you know, whatever. And, you know, I totally get to the coming from the place of I don't want to harass, but
yeah,
keep in mind these people, like, you know, I, you know, met you before from the shows and you're real, you know, good dude. And I know you, when you asked me, I, in my head, like I told you, I forgot to respond, but I wanted to say like, yeah, hell yeah, let's find a time, check in. And I thought I'd done that for whatever reason. And then when I checked back at the message and saw that I hadn't responded, I was like, yeah, let's do it this time. But in my head, I was almost like, oh, I wonder if I didn't respond, if you would have followed up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think lesson learned, like, you should, like, do that. Because there's no harm in asking again. If I didn't respond that second time, then maybe, like, you take a hint. But, but you asked me definitely, I think, like, a few weeks before I came out, right?
But yeah, as soon as I heard you announced, it was on the Guy Tory episode, you announced that Saints I'm about coming to St. Louis in a couple weeks. And I was like, when I heard that, I got excited, and I was like, yeah, man, I'll... So I threw it out there. I'm like, hey, if it works, it works. But, you know.
And then I would say, like, follow up. Like, if I, you know, like, if you would, because when I saw the message, I thought, oh, respond. And when I forgot, and then sometimes when there are a lot of these people that we're booking, too, like, it's not at the top of Apatow's list. But when I remind the system, you catch people in the right time. And then, like, let's say you hit me up Friday night on my show, and I go, oh, fuck, that's right.
Yeah.
How about so-and-so day and time, you know? So it's like, you got to be the reminder. So
there's some guests like locally, like obviously this you're here for the weekend and stuff. Some of the other guests, like you know how you were talking about approaching with Apatow, there's some of them I've been constantly, you know, not constantly, but I have to follow up on a, you know, trying to get a response. Hey, what about now? What are you doing?
Yep.
You know, find out like oh they got a if a musician's got a big show or you know something or the CD's coming out that kind of stuff. I try to follow up then like when they got a lot to promote and it's a good time to catch them.
Well, like the lady who you know the silly fun black lady Diane the Darlene who works here at the Courtyard.
Yeah.
She's probably always available. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's somebody you. But even her, you probably got to follow up on. You got to like you show up. You get a coffee. You say, what about that podcast? She's like, sure, baby. As long as it's not up in the clouds. And then you're like, still don't know what the fuck that means. You only have four floors here. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just being, riding that line of, and you know, when you say like being undeniable, like what Barry says, it's like you, it, all this stuff too, like anything that you ever want to do, like falls on you, you know, like having management and people, agents and whatever to, you know, shit, knock on wood, man. I'm going, I have a callback for Launchpad McQuack for DuckTales next week, right? For Disney's doing a reboot of DuckTales.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going back. I read for Launchpad, and I'm going back now in front of all the Disney people. And, you know, it's having my agent get me the audition was dope, but it was on me to prepare and work on that and crush it. And now it's on me to go back and sweeten them over in the room and be even better than I was before, you know, and be undeniable. So, you know, it just always is, you know, everyone needs a boost and whatever, but anything you're trying to ever get going or whatever has got to be, you know, And you got to take advantage of, too, like, the fact that you met me from other shows and, like, sort of fall wouldn't have been, intrusive because it's like, you know, we'd already had discussions.
Yeah. Does that come out of all your talk about I just blanked on the name.
Ducks.
Or what'd you say? The show, the launch pad.
By the way, we would be a terrible team on $25,000 pyramid.
Yeah.
It's a thing that you put in a, you eat it, but people like it. People kind of like it. Is it toast? No, man. It was pussy. But
you were talking about your audition and you saying was that from your all the talk about your. Launch pad stuff, or, you know, your
my audition for what?
What that show you said you auditioned for?
DuckTales,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said, but is that, that's what I was trying to think of, DuckTales.
Oh, you're talking about on the show with Barry?
No. On the podcast, you referenced DuckTales.
Because I love it. Because I love it, yeah.
But I'm saying,
as a kid.
Your audition, did that come out of any of all you're talking about? On the show, or is that just
no? That has happened because they did a reboot, and my voice agent got me an audition, and
just happened to work out. You're a big fan too.
Yeah, I mean that's the benefit of just being in the business. Yeah. It's like I was a big fan of Sandra Bullock and got to be in a movie with her. It's like that's just once you get deep into stuff and some of these circles. Sure. Being a voice of a cartoon is definitely a huge dream, and to have it be a show that I grew up like loving would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
So. I can't help but and hopefully I can share some of those personal stories in the room and
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We'll look to close this thing
out. Okay, cool.
And I appreciate you doing
this,
dude. So much.
Hell yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks to the Courtyard Marriott for housing us.
Yeah. Shout out to the Courtyard here.
Shout out, dude.
You can pick up Adam's album, Pop-Tart Suicide.
Thanks, dude.
Available now. What, iTunes and Spotify and AdamRayTV.com, right?
You got it. Yeah, all my videos are on there. It's got a lot of some music videos with my buddy Andrew Santino. And
those are great. But,
thanks, man.
The Instagram stuff where he's like screaming at you.
Yeah. We're trying to turn that into something, so we'll see. And then my At Midnight appearance is on my website with Santino and Jessamay Peluso, and Brad makes an appearance. And just a lot of stuff, and got a lot more videos coming and podcasts and I'm co-hosting a show for TBS called Separation Anxiety with Eliza Schlesinger that comes out March 8th on TBS. That's not going to be on every Wednesday, and then About Last Night drops every Monday, and tour dates are on AdamRayTV.com.
Yeah, when are you gonna? Are you ever gonna do? Some kind of reality show
fuck
kind of
that.
Thing with your
like Celebrity Rehab
with your nieces though. Like, I find that stuff really funny. Just
thanks,
like,
man. Yeah, they're amazing. They're so genuinely funny, and I love like making little videos with them because they make me laugh. And selfishly, when I post them, I want to share how funny they are. But I also, it's like, it's a great losing phones or like. Having videos on my computer, I've had like things, just taking the videos for myself, I've like lost stuff before. And so when I take them and then I post them, it's a way for me to always have them out there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's the reason when I make notes for jokes, I always email them to myself. I don't do handwritten stuff anymore because I lost a couple notebooks and it was devastating, like losing a lot of stuff. And when I email myself something, it's like, if I lose my phone or my computer, I'm always going to be able to track it down. So.
Yeah, definitely.
But my nieces are, they're the best.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to grow up too quick because,
sure.
Even when they come home from kindergarten and they're like, Kyle gave me a cookie. And I'm like, who the fuck is Kyle? Like, and what kind of cookie? If it was oatmeal, like, he doesn't want anything because nobody likes oatmeal. But if it's chocolate chip, he's trying to get a couple, he's trying to get the third base at least because chocolate chip cookie. You don't just give away a chocolate chip cookie and not want anything in return. But they're the coolest, man.
Yeah.
They seem
like a lot of fun.
They are, and I want them to continue to have good sense of humor. I'll probably show them Family Guy by the time they're 8.
Yeah.
Just to start to show them, like, hey, there's more than just farts and bicycles.
That's I think that's the next album. They should name
Farts
that.
And Bicycles.
Yeah, there you go, man. That's it.
Not a bad idea.
So, yeah, well, follow Adam. He's got his Facebook fan page, and you can reach him on Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, man, thanks so much.
Thank you, buddy,
for hanging out.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll be back here in St. Louis before too long.
I would love that. I love the city.
So, yeah, it's always a good time here, man.
Hell yeah.
So thanks, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.